B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Bruce Kulick is my guest today in the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Of course, currently with Grand Funk Railroad since the year 2000. And formerly with the band Kiss and other bands, which we talked about. But of course, being in Kiss, I mean, the fans know a lot. And sometimes he uses their research to refresh his memory.
Well, I do use their research, too.
We got a lot of Kiss talk in the conversation today. We talked, of course, a lot about his era. And one of my favorite records, not just from his era, but from Kiss in general.
That record is so powerful. It's so much fun to play over it, and I'm just so I'm so happy I can still do that stuff, if you get what I mean.
We talk about the upcoming Kiss Cruise, where he plays with Todd Kearns, Brent Fitz, and Zach Throne, as well as other artists he may have auditioned for back in the day.
Yeah, one funny story would be, like, I actually got to audition for Mick Jagger.
We talk about social media, his guitar collection, and tons more.
That's a cool question, okay.
It's Bruce Kulick today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Seems like it's been a minute since we've done the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast since David Ellefson from last week, but we are back at it. I got a full week of stuff to get to here. I got a bunch of interviews already lined up, including this one, which just kind of fell in my lap this week. So we'll get into some of that coming up here in just a bit. Plus, Al Beck's going to be here in just a little while. Al, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, man.
We got to talk about your nerd weekend.
So say back in town.
Man. Yeah, back in town. If you follow me on Twitter at MeltdownWRIF and at Al Beck Radio.
Right? Correct, yeah.
Anyways, Al threw a picture up there on his social media about his rendezvous in Las Vegas over the weekend. Nerd alert!
Even you have to admit, though, this was a pretty cool rendezvous.
It was pretty cool. I'll give you that much. I mean, the guy that they got a picture with, he's iconic. There's no question about it. I'd actually like to meet him.
Yeah.
But for probably totally different reasons.
Probably. I can't wait to hear what your reasons
So we'll talk about that coming up after Bruce Kulick. Plus, he's got news on Tool. Also, a Jack and Jack connection. Could that be made? We'll talk about that as well. And we kind of touched on a little bit with Bruce, but he actually was in a band with Brent Fitz, who was playing with Slash. And Brent had to leave the tour. I met Brent. I was talking about this in the last podcast. But what a great guy he was. And I guess he had some sort of detached retina thing. So we'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit, as well as a rock star. Getting was it a street named after him or something?
A historical marker.
Where's my historical markers?
That's this episode right here. Go down the podcast Hall of Fame when they.
Yeah, in August 2019. Okay, perfect. Right. Excellent. That's a good idea. We should submit this one. I feel like this one's probably going to be our best.
Oh, that's aiming low.
Well, yeah. Nothing to do with your part, by the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Al Beck's going to come up here in just a little bit. But first, Bruce, he's going to be in town in the Southeast Michigan area for a couple big events this weekend. He's playing with Grand Funk Railroad Saturday after the NASCAR racing out there in the Irish Hills of Brooklyn, Michigan, which is going to be cool. Of course, they got the lower level division out there Saturday, then the big boys come up on a Sunday. He's playing out there with Skid Row. We'll talk about that here in just a bit. And also doing the Rock City Music thing. Our friends Nick and Johnny and all the guys over there at Rock City Music doing such a great job. They've had Geddy Lee in there, Blackberry Smoke, Nita Strauss, just a few of them just in the past month. And now Bruce is going to be stopping by this coming Friday if you're anywhere in the area. That's August, what is today? August 9th.
Yep.
So hopefully you didn't miss this if you're listening to it later. But August 9th between 6 and 8 p.m. So anyways, Bruce called in right on time, and we were off and running with Bruce Kulick today on Talkin' Rock.
Well, my wife was going, what's his name? And I go, like, Meltdown, you know, so whatever.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that is that when I got on the radio in Buffalo in 1990, and I had already been called, like, the Meltdown one in different variations of it, my boss just said, call yourself Meltdown. As a matter of fact, I had dinner with you guys in 1993, I think, with the Revenge lineup
stuff. Right, we're doing the promo thing, yeah.
Yeah, wow. In Buffalo. And so I'll never forget Gene Simmons sitting there, and the girl says, let me see your tongue. And you probably heard him say this a million times, but he looked down and said, the floor is too dirty, you know. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He has a couple of those lines.
That's right. So anyways, you're going to be in town this weekend doing some really cool things. Of course, you got the NASCAR race on a Saturday, then you're going to be at Rock City Music on a Friday. And what kind of things you do when people come and see you on Friday at Rock City Music?
Well, that's it's a funny word, of course. It's not a doctor appointment, but it is a clinic, okay? and what I really enjoy them, because what I'm able to do there is besides play guitar for them and talk about gear and stuff, but you know, take questions and just discuss everything to do with my career and what they're curious about. It's always intimate because they're usually at smaller venues, like in this case a terrific music store called Rock City Music. I think there's a little connection there with Detroit Rock City, which is perfect, the Kiss song. And I was telling my wife, I have so many funny Detroit kind of connections to my life, even though I grew up in New York. But they're really cool. And besides, right after I do my clinic or performance, as you call it, I'll get a chance to meet the people that came, which is great. I always have some unique merchandise items that I'll bring there. So that's my Friday night at the music store, it's pretty cool. I mean, anyone that I know, it's going to happen. I'll have a great crowd and it's going to go over well. And then all week after, it'll be like, oh man, I didn't know about it. You know what I mean? I missed that. You were only 20 minutes away. I'll see all that on my Facebook.
Oh no, I see the stuff on your Facebook already. It's like, I think you even answered a question that you had actually, that the answer was in the post. somebody asked you the question in the feedback and stuff. And yeah, it's like, hey, when are you going to be to Detroit?
I really always be on medication before I answer things, if you get what I mean. Because I know I read this stuff and Facebook's tricky enough to how much content can you really put there but yes, I know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly.
You read what I read, but imagine that I'm like, how do I answer this? I already put it there.
You do a lot of stuff on social media. You got your Guitar of the Month and you're pretty active on it. You like it?
That's a great question. I got to be honest that I do enjoy, entertaining the fans and giving them content that they would really enjoy. Okay. Now, what's funny is that it is hard to really do it professionally. And I don't have like a team. I got my wife that can help me. I do have like a merch person that helps me with other things. But I see some people on social media that I know the time it takes to really do it right, and they must carve out a chunk of their day, to do that. And I'm spinning a lot of different things. So the effort that you have to do it well, and then, Facebook changes things all the time. Same thing with Instagram and the other platforms. I have a terrific guy in California that helps me with the BruceKulick.com. All right. I'm very grateful to have him. And that's more like the modern kind of website, WordPress, not the old HTML thing, which I had to get away from. Although all the old content that I had for Kulick.net from years ago got, it's still there. It's archived and it's part of BruceKulick.com, which a fan gave me, by the way, because I couldn't get it when when this whole internet stuff started years ago, and a fan heard me talking about it with Chris Jericho on his TV, on his rather Sirius XM show. And
right.
Next thing I know, the guy writes me, hey, I just bought it for you. It's yours. I'm a big fan. It's a guy from Norway. Which
wow.
was wonderful. I got to meet him and everything. Well, if I asked for it back, that the price would be too high. But,
right.
Someone like that asking. So, but the social media thing is how people share, information. And I try to pace it out. People always want more. And it's just, it gets a little overwhelming, to be honest, So, like, when you look at that post, the Guitar of the Month, Kiss Guitar of the Month, I have to research. First of all, I know the kind of like a dozen or more that I do currently own. I'd rather do the ones that I physically have, okay, not other ones, okay? I want to kind of, what is this? How did this relate to my Kiss years? There's what I remember, and then there's always a lot of other things that I don't remember, and I try to do a lot of research to see, like, did I record with this? Did I ever play live with it? So you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It becomes this whole research. Now, I enjoy that because I'm always, it's mind-blowing to see all the connections, and I'm putting together the puzzle of my Kiss 12 years. But that's a long time, and it's a long time ago, okay? You realize, even if I'm talking about a guitar from 1990 that I bought, that's a long time ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm coming up later this year on a big anniversary, 35 years of when I joined the band, and went on the road for Animal Eyes and all. So I'm planning some things for that, but it takes a lot of time. It just does.
Well, it's funny because, you mentioned like that fan bought that your URL for you and stuff, and the Kiss fans are fanatics. Let's just face the facts. Like, John Five is a friend of mine. There's a guy here in Detroit. His name is Joe, who's got this ridiculous Kiss collection and stuff. So
of
sometimes,
course.
Yeah, do you know Joe?
No. I mean, I know about collections. Yeah. There's people that just... I might know the guy, you know, because some of these people are pretty visible online and they get to know some people that I know, you know, some of the big collectors.
Right. Well, you know John Five.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. He's a huge Kiss fan.
Right.
Absolutely.
So anyways, I guess my question to you is, I mean, you really have to be on top of your stuff, like you say, because the Kiss fans in some instances may know more about your guitar that you use than you do.
Well, I do use their research, too. There's one guy who runs this site called KissFacts.com, and sometimes it would be like, there's details there that are incredible. Like, you know, every concert and certainly all the years, but then I can just focus on my years. So, yes, the fans are very helpful. Now, then again, there's the fan that will write me. You know, I did play bass guitar, for example, on some songs,
right,
on some of the records. But someone will tell me about a track that I absolutely know I didn't play bass. Oh, I read you did. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, that's the wrong information. Now, certainly, I'm not saying I'm infallible. I think my track record, for what I remember, is going to be pretty accurate. But what's out there on the internet, you know what I mean? There's always a lot of misinformation, you know. Like, just because I was on the cover of that Creatures reissue, it does not mean that they remixed anything, does not mean I added any guitars to it. You know, it's a weird thing why it was put out with the current non-makeup band and the original band that did Creatures. And by the way, the original band that did Creatures, there was a lot of session players on that.
Right.
You know, because the guitar player situation was really odd then. So, but what people know and what they don't know, I try to be, that's why I've been trying to, since I moved last year, I moved from California to Nevada. My wife and I have been really organizing a lot of the KISS materials that I've collected through the years. And I scan things and I try to really dig into, and I'm learning things. I am reminding myself of stuff. The fans help. They'll share things. They'll show me something. And I go, it's right, you know, and I get really excited. But lots of times they'll mention something that I know is just, they might have read it somewhere, but it's totally wrong, you know. So it's a process. I'm really amazed at everything with it, you know. And then, you know, with them touring currently, they're on everyone's mind, okay? Now, granted, they're celebrating, you know, the winding down and the end of the road tour and everything, and they have this tremendous production, but it makes people look at all eras and really look at their connection to KISS. Just yesterday, I'm at a, you know, local grocery store here in Las Vegas, and this guy got all excited. He started chatting to my wife. I was still grabbing an item off the shelf, and then when I came over, I said to her, what's going on? You know, and he's like, oh, he's one of your fans. But he told us a really interesting thing, and I was very, very flattered by it. He had kind of gone through his years of, you know, being a fan, then stopping being a fan, and then the current tour got him back into looking at KISS, and he started to go through everything, and then he realized how much he loved my era, and then he starts talking about Carnival of Souls with me. And you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, so here's that current tour, which has very little to do with Carnival of Souls. I think you know that.
They're right,
not
right.
Touch. I don't even think, they may do one or two songs, really, even from the non-makeup era. And yet the guy is, like, now embracing a record that means something to him, and he's sharing that with me in the store and really excited to talk about it. So I love that, you know, and that's why I always know when they're out there, it's still shining a light on the entire history of KISS, and that obviously shines a light on me.
Now, to me, personally, my favorite record from your era is Revenge, and I don't even think it's close for me anyways. It was 1992. My mother had just passed away, and there was, like, all this stuff that was kind of going on. My career was just starting, so for me that meant a lot to me. And I know that you worked with Michael Bolton. He wrote a couple songs, or God Gave Rock and Roll to You or something, didn't he, on that record?
No. All right, let's get this fact.
Okay,
straight.
All right.
First of all, the song that he was really involved with, it was just one important song, though, I will admit, was Forever.
Oh, Forever.
Hot,
okay.
In the Shade. Yes.
Okay, so, gotcha. Yep.
The only thing odd about Revenge was having Vinnie Vincent involved with some songwriting, and then, of course, he had a big falling out again with them. But the Revenge record, I agree with you, is a tremendous effort. And actually, a lot of the songs that I'll be performing at the clinic on Friday night at your local store is from Revenge, because Bob Ezrin produced it. This is when, I'll throw out a little technical term that doesn't mean a whole lot anymore though. DAT tapes. Okay?
Yeah.
tapes, right?
Yep.
So, you know, my history of KISS would be like, you go home with a cassette from the Asylum era, you know what I mean? you learn the stuff from a cassette for Animalize before I was going to go on to him. Paul will give me, here, learn these. This is us live. Learn these arrangements. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you go home from the studio in this, of Asylum, you know, with cassettes. Then all of a sudden, you know, Crazy Nights was probably still cassettes you're going home with. Maybe someone would burn a CD, because CD burners at $1,000 were coming into the studios.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then this is before computers could do that. And then there was the DAT tape, the digital audio tape, right? So for Revenge, I had a DAT machine at home. I used to do a lot of the, you know, kind of like if I would wanted to bounce down things or master things from a demo I had or something I was working on, it would always be to that. But Bob Ezrin gave me, he knew I was like into the technology stuff, and Paul and Gene weren't. And the same thing with Eric Singer. He wasn't. So he would give me some of those DAT tapes to hold on to, of which all that stuff I transferred to CD and gave Tommy when he was compiling all of, you know, Tommy Thayer from Kiss, you know, compiling things to look at things. So, you know, Kiss has all this stuff. And it was amazing what I'd find on there, because they were all the – I used to have to practice to some of that to learn my solos. And I set that up when I'm going to do the clinic on Friday, so I can explain why they're hearing actual Kiss tracks, but not with all the vocals or not without the leads, you know. And that record is so powerful, and it's so much fun to play over it, and I'm just so – I'm so happy I can still do that stuff, if you get what I mean.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And it's material that they don't play. And fortunately, this band that I work with that I'll be on the cruise again with, you know, we cover material like that, and that's going to be pretty big again. We'll put together a great set for the Kiss Cruise 9 that's coming up in end of October, November.
Yeah, by the way, I saw Slash a couple weeks ago, and you're playing with Todd Kearns and Brent Fitz.
Yeah, Don and Brent.
Yeah,
and Brent. And his drummer as well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, but Todd, I couldn't believe what a great frontman he is, actually.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Yeah, I know with Slash, he's like the bass player who will sing a song, but Miles Kennedy is a featured frontman. But Todd is amazing.
Yeah, he's a great musician.
He's wonderful. Paul and the guys love him, too, so there's been a lot of kumbaya about that, because, you know, he's got that range. And he's a big Kiss nerd, so it's hilarious whenever we get together. Same thing with Brent. And then my other secret weapon is Zach Throne. He's the guy who's playing bass. He's also known as a guitarist. He'll play with different people. He was out with the Slipknot guy. What was that? Corey Taylor. Corey Taylor, right.
Yeah.
He's been doing gigs with him, but he'll play guitar. You know, so Todd plays bass with Slash, but then he'll play rhythm guitar with me. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
These guys are brilliant. And then Brent, when he does this other side project called Took, which is these Canadian guys, he plays bass. He doesn't play drums. You know, don't even ask. These guys are all amazing. But Zach, I always knew him as a bass player. I didn't even realize he played guitar, but, you know, he does a lot of gigs on guitar, too. But he sings really well as well, so I got him covering the Gene stuff.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I got, of course, Todd for all the Paul stuff, so I'm covered in spades with the material for my band when I'm able to do those gigs. But we shouldn't forget talking about Grand Funk, because I'm also on Saturday. We're right by the NASCAR. We're on their grounds. We're not in the racetrack, actually. Everybody should know that. It's kind of considered a separate event, I believe, from what I saw from the, you know, notes from our tour manager. But still, it's out there in Brooklyn, Michigan, and we'll be on stage, I think, at 8 o'clock or something like that on this Saturday.
Yeah, after Skid Row. So it's so funny you mentioned Todd, because he's got the high range. I couldn't believe the backing vocals when I watched him with Slash. And then, of course, Brent's in a band called Took, because he's Canadian, you know.
Yeah. Well, so is Todd. And, these Canadians, they stick together.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's funny is that Brent had to come home, sadly, to take care of some personal stuff health-wise.
Yeah, he had an eye thing going on. He was rocking so hard, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm so glad he'll be able to do that. But, you know, the guy replacing him for that last week on tour is one of the other guys that's in that Took band, you know. And, of course, he's Canadian. You know,
yeah.
There you go.
No, I met Brent for the first time a couple weeks ago, and, man, he couldn't have been nicer. Super nice guy. But
all those guys are class acts, and I'm very fortunate to work with them. And, you know, it's exciting. The you know, all the opportunities I have, the way everybody loves Kiss is pretty crazy.
Now, you mentioned the final tour and stuff, and of course, Kiss played a big part in your life. I mean, tell me your thoughts about the final tour, and tell me, you know, do you know where the last show is, and are you going to be part of it?
Those are questions I don't know the answer to. I would imagine that that last gig could be 2 years from now,
right,
because they're doing just so well, and Gene's always talked about 3 years. But I don't really know their master plan. I'm not even sure how much they've mapped out yet, but I got to think this break that they had, they might have been discussing things, you know, what would happen in 2020 and then how they may want to wind down in 2021. But I don't know. I'm very curious about it. I love that it's been so successful for them. And then, you know, I'm fairly confident that in some way a final gig, could feature everybody that is willing and able to be involved. You know, I mean, why not? Okay. But, you know, it's not up to me. They know I'm, excited about it and would love to be, represented. But we'll see how everything goes, you know. It'll be a really nice thing for the fans, I think. It'll be a great bookend for it, too. You know?
Yeah, no doubt. And you were part of the Unplugged thing, which kind of turned into this, the tour, which actually started right here in Detroit. Were you at any of those first shows when they put the makeup back on?
I did see them in L.A., yes. And it was funny, you know, a lot of the fans, because the press then was more like, we're going to do this for a year. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
They'd be like, we'll see you next year, Bruce. You know what I mean? I was like, I already knew that wasn't going to happen. You know what I mean? This thing is selling out everywhere, and the makeup thing makes sense, you know. But I did see them then. I went to Dodger Stadium. I remember when Smashing Pumpkins opened for them. So, yeah, I saw them, and I hope to see them on this tour at some point. You know, I mean, when they were here in Vegas, I was on the road with Grand Funk, so don't know. But and then it's funny you mentioned Unplugged. That happened on the last cruise because Ace was on the last cruise too, so we all got to play on the kickoff party acoustically, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. One of my friends wanted to know what it's like to take over for a guy like Ace and then take over for a guy like Mark Farner.
You know, I've always considered myself versatile, so I'm able to kind of like fit in and not, shall I say, not poop on, you know, the person that I'm kind of replacing, you know what I mean, or representing, shall I say. You know how important, of course, Ace is to Kiss, and you know how important Mark Farner is to Grand Funk, so I have all the respect in the world about that. But obviously, you know, it's you know, really, really an honor to kind of make it my own, but represent, you know, their riffs in an appropriate way that I think, you know, kind of I can still, you know, when I play guitar, I want to move people. I want them to know I really enjoy playing guitar, and I love it, and I love that music, but I'm not trying to like reinvent what they already did some really good magic with. That wouldn't be great.
Now, you mentioned earlier the 35 years since doing your first show. Do you remember the first show you played with Kiss?
I do, and it's coming up on 35 years at the end of, I think it's September, and it was in England, and my knees were shaking, dude.
That's
an expression. My knees were shaking. And I didn't realize how animated Gene and Paul could be on stage, you know. But, wow, you know, they started running around. You know, at rehearsal, we're not running around, a sound stage, you know. So I was kind of like, oh, my God, you know what I mean? And it was just, like, really wild. And I kind of got the nickname, you know, Spruce Bruce, because I was, like, you know, just standing there not running. Well, I wanted to play. First of all, we're playing complicated stuff. You know, Animal-wise had fast stuff, but I wasn't all over the place. You know what I mean?
Spruce Bruce, so, yeah. You're planted on the stage.
Yeah, basically. And, well, I certainly didn't want to run into those guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Why would I want to do that, you know?
Now, so. you auditioned for Kiss and stuff. Did you audition for any other bands that you didn't make, or I mean before Kiss or after or anything like that we might have heard of?
Yeah, one funny story would be, like, I actually got to audition for Mick Jagger. That was pretty cool.
Really?
He was, remember when he broke away for the first time with a solo record? Okay, I don't remember the title of the album. That was remarkable. I was actually in Kiss at the time, and I asked Gene and Paul, do you mind? I mean, he's going to do a tour. I don't know how it would fit in, but do you mind? He goes, no, go audition. They thought it was, like, really cool, you know, because that's a hero for them, too.
For sure, yeah.
Stone, you know. And Mick was really polite. He was very, he was just filming everybody that came in. and I was a nervous wreck. I definitely was much too rock for him, if you get what I mean.
Although
he took like a really interesting player, Joe Satriani.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that interesting? You know, I mean, because Joe is such an incredible guitarist, but I think I came in with one of my Kiss, you know, metal Floyd Rose guitars, and I don't think that was exactly what he was looking for, you know. But I remember how I got the audition. One of his, the producer that did that solo record, it might have been She's the Boss, I don't remember it right now, but he used me for some other session in New York, so he thought it was cool. I still have a recording of that. I actually put a little tape recorder on the floor. It was very funny.
Now you can just put your phone
and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can put your phone or something on there.
Nowadays, yeah. Back in 1980, this would have been 86, dude.
86.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Wow. So yeah, that was in the midst of your Kiss career. I mean, if you would have gotten that gig, you would have had to leave Kiss.
Well, I would have. You know, if it would have been when Kiss was just writing or quiet, you know, there'd be times when we'd be 6 months really busy and then 6 months not, you know. But I didn't get the gig, so it didn't matter, you know what I mean?
Well, there you go. Don St. Thomas Baker wanted me to say hello.
Oh, yeah, Don is a dear friend of mine, of course. He works at a backline company, and he's a fine singer and has a cool band that I even did some guitar work for. Yeah, he's a great guy. I should see him this weekend. I think he'll be in Detroit.
So, hey, final thing here for you. You mentioned earlier that, you know, you got a lot of, like, Detroit connections. I mean, outside of Detroit Rock City, what kind of connections or what kind of stuff that brings you to Detroit?
Oh, okay. That's a cool question. Okay. Well, you know, I was involved with a band called the Good Rats on from New York. And, they're a Long Island band that, you know, I joined a little later in. You know, they were already known on Long Island. They were somewhat legendary in the tri-state area of New York. But they had a big song called Taking It to Detroit. They called it Detroit. But it was the chorus title was Taking It to Detroit. They were so popular, we did a gig. We were on a bill with Ozzy and Motorhead open for us.
Really?
The Good Rats were second on the bill. It was out of college because we were very popular in the bars and the colleges in that tri-state area of, you know, from Long Island to, you know, New Jersey. And this gig actually was at a college in Pennsylvania, but that counted as that area, kind of. All right, so it was Taking It to Detroit. Okay. Then, of course, Kiss, you have Detroit Rock City. I don't need to explain
right.
Okay? And then I wind up years later winding up in Grand Funk. Now, we know that Grand Funk really came from Michigan, but Flint, Michigan. But
right.
I kind of consider Flint as, you know, the poor suburb bastard city of Detroit, I guess. You know,
that's right,
and
right.
Unfortunately, the press in the last 10 years or so has, of course, been, you know, sad about the water supply and things like that. But,
yeah.
But you know, it's the other connection would be I wouldn't have had the opportunity probably to be in Grand Funk 19 years now, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. If it wasn't for meeting Don Brewer out on tour with Michael Bolton, who we mentioned earlier, but we went and did some Seger dates, okay, and of course Bob Seger being like
Detroit,
probably one of the biggest stars from Detroit, and Don Brewer played many, many tours with Bob Seger, so then I'm meeting Don, you know, and then years later when he's looking at, you know, continuing Grand Funk, when Mark went solo, I'm on the short list, and then there I am flying up to, you know, kind of Traverse City to rehearse with the guys, and the rest is, you know, that history with Grand Funk now.
Now, were you a Nugent fan growing up? And of course, from Detroit as well.
You know, and I have a good connection with him. He was on one of the Kiss tours I was involved in, and I always thought Nugent was, this is before it became more like maybe political, that he was always a wild rock and roller, you know.
Right.
I always dug that. I don't like talking politics at all. But the point is, we used to chat about guitars, and I remember he made some really nice mentions of me. I once did his radio show, too, probably maybe in that first year that I joined Grand Funk, when he had a show, he invited me on. And then we've done some gigs together, even with Grand Funk, and I remember we just talked about the Marshall amps and the Rockmans I used to use. I remember we would have some good, you know, gear chats, you know what I mean? Of course, he wants to talk about, you know, grill it, kill it, grill it, you know, and things like that, and that's his thing. And he's that Northern Michigan mentality, which is very different from growing up in Brooklyn, New York, okay?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So understand, I find it very ironic, too, that the Saturday gig with Grand Funk is in Brooklyn, Michigan. Okay, that's another weird connection. So there you go. I have a million connections with Detroit, you see?
Well, have fun out there. You're not going to stick around for the race. I suppose you guys split, huh?
No. What time do races even start? I don't know, because we're playing at night.
They'll be racing that afternoon, like the lower levels. Then the main racing will be Sunday at like 3 o'clock or something.
Okay,
so, yeah.
No, I'm actually flying home. Yes, that's correct. Yeah. I got to get back home. But Detroit really is always a big rock city. We know that. And I'm looking forward to the event, of course, at the Rock City Music. Please come down. It's free. Okay? I mean, that's the magic number, I think, okay? Because everybody wants everything on the internet for free, you know. So, but you'll get to hear me play and all. And then the Saturday gig, I don't know what the deal is for that, actually. Sometimes those gigs are not expensive or free as well.
Yeah, know, I think you got to have, like, at least a ticket to the race on Saturday or Sunday,
okay,
or something like that. But,
all right,
yeah, it's all up on their website and stuff, what you need.
Right.
But
those
are always fun. And, of course, like I said, Skid Row going to be opening up as well. And I want to say Sawyer Brown or something like that is before that. So
excellent. That's great to know, because I look forward to seeing those guys. They're going to be, you know, I've seen them at airports and I've bumped into them, you know, so to actually be on a bill with them would be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Bruce, thanks
right,
so much
friend.
For your time. I really
right,
appreciate
Mr.
it.
Mr. M, Mr. Meltdown, you have a great time, and hopefully I'll see you sometime in Detroit, okay?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Bruce Kulick on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown Podcast. Going to be a big time this weekend here in Southeast Michigan. He's got like a couple events like we were talking about. Rock City, of course, and at the NASCAR race coming up on Saturday. So there you go. I don't know if you can top that with your story from this past weekend, but we're going to give it a shot.
Well, I mean, in my world, it was topped, yeah.
Right. So anyways, I'm Meltdown. I'll back over to the left of me here. And
that's right.
Over the weekend, you flew to Vegas. Now, people may or may not know, but, well, they probably don't know, but your brother lives in Vegas.
Yeah, my brother lives out there, so I went out to visit him, but for a very specific reason.
Here we go. Nerd alert. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't do any gambling or, you know, I mean, I did some drinking, but that was, you know.
Right,
not the point.
Right.
I went to the Star Trek convention.
Oh, my God.
Star Trek Las Vegas.
All I can think of is that skit on Saturday Night Live. Have you ever kissed a girl?
Yeah,
I love that line.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But that's like the premier Star Trek convention. Like the San Diego is the premier Comic-Con.
Right, right.
This is the big Star Trek con. And I hadn't been to one before. I've never been to any cons, even the local ones. I don't like crowds. I've never been, but my brother.
So where was this at, by the way?
It was at the Rio, so it was a little off the strip.
Off the strip. So you go there, and now, first of all, how much did it cost you to get your picture taken with Captain Kirk? Who, by the way, is TJ Hooker, right? Is that really?
It is accurate, yeah.
That's the reason I would want to go. I'd be like, dude, TJ Hooker was like the greatest 80s TV show ever.
He talked about, he spoke, he did a panel, and he did talk about some of his older shows, TJ Hooker, Boston Legal, or whatever, and he mentioned Boston Legal and the whole crowd. Well, he started his speaking by promoting a show he's got coming, Unexplained, I think it's called, to History Channel.
Okay.
Goes on a whole thing about what it's about, how important it is. I'm still working. I'm doing the show. Check it out. Coming up, History Channel, blah, 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 whatever.
This is William Shatner.
He moves on. He starts telling a story, and he goes, oh, yeah, so I've got this suit left over from my time with Boston Legal. And everyone starts clapping and cheering, and he goes, stop, don't do that. That show's dead. It's over. Unexplained. History Channel. He was very funny. But
I'll tell you what, I would like to meet him. You know, like Star Trek is completely not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, no, it's outside. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've never been a Trekkie or something.
Sure.
But I did like my hashtag Nanu Nanu on your picture. So
wrong franchise.
I don't know if anyone will get that. But anyways,
Indy. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So William Shatner,
yeah.
I mean, he's like an icon. There's no question about it. How old is that guy?
He is 88 years old.
88? Holy crap.
88 years old. And this is what I'll say about meeting him. It was a very brief encounter. He said four words to me, and that was it. He said, hello, gentlemen. We took the picture. He said, thank you. And then we were dismissed.
That's it?
That was the entire thing.
Did you say hello? Hey,
I did. I said, how are you? He ignored that.
Yeah.
And then afterward, when he said thank you, I said, thank you for the photo. And he had moved on in his life already.
Okay. So so how much did that cost you?
It was $100 for the photo op.
For both of you?
Yes.
So you just put $50 in?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. Well, I found out, my brother bought it. He said he was getting a photo with him, and you get two people per photo op. So I offered to pay. He turned me down. Here's the thing, though. They had a replica bridge set for the original series. For another $50, you could have gotten your, you could have had your picture with Shatner, with him sitting in the chair and you on either side of
him.
Why
didn't you throw the $50 in?
I didn't know until it was too late. I was like, dude, I would have paid for that. Are you kidding? I would have paid the $100. You could have paid the $50 to be with Kirk on the bridge of the Enterprise. But you know what? Still thrilled.
You know what? That might be my question this week, okay? Sure. I might throw it up on social media. What's the nerdiest, geekiest thing you've ever done in your life?
Okay? I feel like meeting Captain Kirk maybe isn't mine even.
Yeah. Sure, I've done some nerdy things. Yeah. I'll have to think about this while we're doing our news, and maybe I'll have to pop on at the end.
I will wrap it up by saying it is phenomenal. That guy, I'm sure he's had Botox or some work done, but whatever he's had done is very subtle. You can't really tell. Standing next to him, 88 years old, he looks at least 25 years younger. He moves on stage better than I do at 32. His was sharp, funny. That dude's gonna live to 120.
Yeah, no doubt. So people may or may not know, but his that Michael Myers mask was him.
Oh, I did not realize
you didn't know that?
No.
In Halloween?
No, I never knew that, but as soon as you say that, I'm like, yeah, I see it.
That was a Captain Kirk mask.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that they kind of like, you know, did some stuff to it, and it turned into be the Halloween mask.
I never knew that.
Yeah, so.
That's cool.
How could you not know that, being such a Star Trekker?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I'm not a horror movie guy. That's more, to me, that's more of a horror movie.
See, that's what I'm talking about. The guy's so iconic, he's done stuff that you don't even know about.
Exactly.
He's in stuff you don't even know about. So anyways, 248-586-2988 if you've got something to top that that's geekier than that. By the way, please leave messages. There's always these hang-ups. And I had this woman call four times on it. She was looking for somebody else.
Yeah, okay.
Clearly looking for someone else.
I should give out my extension.
Yeah, right. No, she wasn't looking for anybody here at the radio station.
Yeah.
I think it was like some sort of old folks home or something she was looking for.
Might have been.
So anyways, 248-586-2988. And all right, so let's start with this Tool song, because this thing is like, it just came out today as we record this. So
yeah.
Whoops, that's the wrong one. That's Kiss. Love that. That's from the Bruce Kulick era.
That lady was definitely not looking for this podcast.
No, greatest
she's
Kiss record,
for a professional.
By the way. Yeah, right, exactly. Well, there's none here, so let's see what happens with this. Okay. Oh, hang on. Now we got Kiss and Tool playing at the same time. Definitely not professional. Okay. Yeah, Fear Inoculum. It's 10 minutes long.
Yeah, 10 minutes and 22 seconds, I believe, is the full count.
Well, they said there's like, what, 7 songs in this record? It's like 80-some-odd minutes?
Yeah, they released the new song, which we're hearing a bit of right now. Fear Inoculum, it's the title track for the new album, Fear Inoculum, coming out on the 30th of August. It's 10 songs for the full-length LP, and it's going to be clocking in at 85 minutes when you add it all up.
Let's just play the rest of this.
I'm going to go home. That'll do it for the podcast.
Yeah, Fear Inoculum right here. And this record, this song was just released this morning, and it's got like 400,000 views already.
Yeah, when they dropped this album, there's actually going to be a limited edition CD package, which, according to the band's website, will feature a 4-inch HD rechargeable screen with an exclusive video footage, a charging cable, 2-watt speakers, and a 36-page booklet and a digital download card as well.
Somebody tweeted me the other day, like, hey, dude, now that Tool's catalog is out there, aren't you excited about the streaming? You know me. I'm like,
right.
I could care less. Yeah. It doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, well, if you want that special package, it is now available for pre-order via Amazon.
All right, there you have it. Tool Inoculum from Tool. Jack White and Jack Black, this sounds like a match made in heaven. And it's what do we got on that?
So Jack Black was up on stage at a show recently and actually put a thank you out there to Jack White and said that they got together at Jack White's house and jammed out a song together. And so I guess this is actually a one-off single that these two guys, Jack Black and Jack White, did together, and it's going to be released on Third Man Records as an exclusive vinyl single.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I like the pairing of those guys. First of all, if your name is Jack White and you don't pair with Jack Black, there's something wrong, you know?
Right.
And Jack Black just seems like the kind of guy, he could just go up there and jam with anybody and, you know, make it entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, Jack White is entertaining as it is.
But. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, both of them, very entertaining.
So anyways, yeah, that's pretty cool. So moving on here real fast, because we talked about Captain Kirk for too long.
Yeah, or not long enough. You can check out the Nerd Radio podcast. I talk much more about the Star Trek convention.
I can just hear people turning this off right now and going over. over there.
Also available on the B-Pod Studios Network.
That's right. Just like this one is.
Yep.
So, anyways, we talked a little bit about it with Bruce. But, yeah, Brent Fitz from Slash's band, I guess, Detached Retina. Is that right?
That's right. He unfortunately had to leave the current tour for an emergency surgery for detached retina, Fitz said. He said, obviously, it left him heartbroken not being able to play the last week of shows. But, you know, you can't mess around with your eyesight, man.
Yeah, I've had some eye surgeries, you know, just like LASIK and different things like that. And it's like the stuff they can do nowadays. I mean, I'm sure by the next day he was ready to go. Yeah. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll be seeing him on the new concert film and album that Slash is going to be releasing next month. That was the one we talked about it. They filmed it in London this past February, and it's got a September release.
Yeah, Brent was a really nice guy. Let's see if we can get him on the pod here to talk about what he's got going on. Mm. And final thing here for you today, Tom Petty, what's going on with him?
Obviously, Tom Petty passed away a little while ago, and his hometown of Gainesville, Florida is going to be honoring him with a two-sided marker, which is going to be placed at the Duck Pond neighborhood, which is where Tom Petty grew up. One side of the marker will feature information about Petty's life before he became a rock star, while the other side will be featuring details about his career. Now, the marker will be unveiled during an event on October 20th, which would have been Tom Petty's 69th birthday.
That's on Don't Come Around Here Boulevard, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right. So I don't really know if I've done anything like geeky or nerdy, like per se like that. But I have had some instances where I can't believe I've said things to people. Like, for example, when I met Bill Maher at Woodstock 94, getting on a bus, and I said to him, "Hey, you're Bill Maher."
As if he didn't know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then I also, one of the geeky, nerdy thing I did one time is I got a, I was lucky enough to have Tony Stewart drive us around in a pace car at the racetrack, you know. And that was really cool. We were going like 145, 150 miles an hour. And anyway, so this was when Jeff Gordon, I think he was married to his first wife, although I can't recall exactly at the time. But I said, "I'm talking to him like I'm talking to you." And I go, "Dude, have you ever seen Jeff Gordon's wife?" Which was one of the stupidest questions ever. Because they like practically like work together, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, "No, I never have."
You know, I've got something sort of like that. We did a meet and greet with two of the members from Slayer, which of course is my favorite band.
Right.
But even my favorite band, I sort of like shake hands and I step back and let listeners have their moment.
Yeah.
And we were there, and our winners clearly didn't know who these guys were. And I'm not good at small talk, even with a band that I really admire. And so when I realized that this was going really rocky, I decided I've got to say or do something. So Dave Lombardo was there, and I was like, "Hey, Dave, could I ask you a drum question?" And he gets really excited because obviously he's a drummer and he's super into drums. He's like, "Yeah, of course. What do you want to know?" And I realized I hadn't thought past that part. I don't remember to this day what the question was, but it was so terrible and so stupid. I watched the man deflate before my eyes, answer it with about three words, and then that was it. And then we were ushered out.
It was probably something he wasn't on.
No. It was about playing drums. I do know that much, but it was a really dumb question.
You know, I've never met Kerry King. I've been in the same room with him a couple times, you know, and different things like that. I got friends who know him, but he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's into small talk.
No, he wasn't either. That was the second time I met him, because that meet and greet was Kerry King and Dave Lombardo. I interviewed Kerry King.
Right, you're saying that. You said that went well.
That went well. He was great. He was nice, talkative, went really well, and I'm glad that was my first meeting, because Kerry King was clearly not happy about the way that meet and greet went. It was a total waste of his time. I admit it was a waste of their time, and I felt bad about it, but like I said, I wasn't prepared for the situation. It was a long time ago.
Not
one of my proud radio moments.
I have done stuff at Comic Cons and stuff. Hey, by the way, how long was that line for pictures?
It was so long. I mean, it was in the room where they had the photo op. They had the zigzagging bank lines, which went out the room, down the hallway, down a corner, and all the way to the entrance of the convention. But they had like a person standing at the front of the line whose entire job was you had a mark to stand on when you were next in line. So they step up, stand right here. Picture taken. All right, get in there. Next person, stand up, stand right here. And like one person did nothing but just herd you through. We do meet and greets, dude. They make us look like amateurs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they move.
How long were you in line?
20 minutes maybe?
20 minutes. So Shatner made like 15 grand while you were standing in line.
Yeah, he did. It was insane.
Man, probably way more than that.
Probably $100 a photo.
Yeah.
150 for the bridge photo.
And you're in there for 20 seconds?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Exactly.
Wow.
He said four words to me. But he made eye contact. I'm taking that to my grave.
Thrilling. All right. At LBAC Radio.
That's right. Facebook, right. Twitter, and Instagram.
At Meltdown WRIF. Hey, guys, listen, come back because we've got some great guests coming up here. I'm not going to blow it by telling you who it is, but I did meet one of these guys last week, and he was so nice. I'm like, hey, dude, would you like to come on the podcast? He's like, yeah, absolutely. So we'll be talking to someone coming up here. Let's just say it's a 90s singer from a band that really made their hay in the 90s. Also have another. I don't want to go this far. We'll just listen.
We'll be
up.
Back for another.
Yeah, we'll
episode,
be back up
whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I got some good stuff coming up. We'll just say that. Hey, thank you so much for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. We'll do it again real soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.